Thank you, and I thank you for watching the broadcast this morning. Will you turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 in your Bible? And as I usually do, I recommend that you get a pencil and a piece of paper in order that you might write down the scripture references. And if you have a Bible, open it with me and let's read the scripture together. I want to talk to you this morning about the church of Matthew chapter 16. The church of Matthew 16. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 8. Philippians 1, verse 8. For God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Well, the indication in verse 10 is that if you do not approve things that are excellent, you would be offensive to the Lord. You see, all of the scripture is for our admonition and our learning, but it is not all written unto us. And there are certain promises in the scripture that are made for Israel as a nation whose inheritance is upon the earth. But anyone trying to claim those inheritances and teaching other people to do so is an offense. So we must rightly divide the word of truth. Now Paul wasn't wasting ink when he wrote 2 Timothy 2:15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In this particular case, notice verse 9. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. In other words, you learn some things from the scripture, and you learn how to judge certain things, that your love may abound. Your love abound in knowledge and in all judgment. You see, there are certain people in the church today, certain preachers and teachers, that do not love those that Jesus Christ gave himself for. They would love them if they cleaned up their act. They would love them if they straightened out their lives. But they wouldn't want certain people in their assemblies today because of those people's sins. This love that is referred to in Ephesians as that which passeth all understanding. You see, when Jesus Christ died, the Bible says in 2nd Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So it irritates people today. They get upset with the idea that all the people in Pensacola and Mobile and Montgomery and around the world today, that their sins have already been paid for, and the problem today is not their sin. That irritates people. They don't approve of those things. And yet, that's what the Bible says. So why then would an individual be lost? Why would an individual be rejected by Almighty God? Because they received not the love of that truth that they might be saved. So there are people today who do not approve things that are more excellent. They disapprove. They only approve of preaching against certain kinds of sins and pulling some kind of con job on the people to get them out of their seats and get them down to the front so that they can lead them and praying a so-called sinner's prayer. They think that's the only way. They do not approve of things that are more excellent. What is more excellent? Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ at Calvary paid for your sins. We that believe on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, trusting that He died for our sins at Calvary, are forgiven all our trespasses. We were quickened together with Christ, God having forgiven us all our trespasses. There are some of you who do not approve of that. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13 is clear. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13 is like a contradiction of 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, God is faithful. If we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The implication being that forgiveness of sins is based upon confession. And yet, Colossians chapter 2 verse 13 says that we were quickened together with Christ, God forgiven us all trespasses. Well, people do not approve of that. They got out of shape about that. So, we must approve things that are more excellent. There are certain scriptures that are more excellent for us than others. Now, all of the Bible is inspired. All scripture is inspired by Almighty God. And holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But all of the scripture is not excellent unto us. It is not more excellent for you to teach people that they should keep the law to be saved. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, but once we're in Christ, we don't need the schoolmaster any longer. So we don't teach people to keep the law. We teach people that they're dead to the law. So we're to approve things that are excellent. Now, go back with me to Matthew and look in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew 16, verse 15, He saith unto them, But whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now this passage here is used as a foundational passage for, I'd say, 99% of church systems in the world today. Fundamentalists all over the world believe that the church, which is the body of Christ, started as a result of this. And so, therefore, they say that the body of Christ was there in Matthew chapter 27, that it's there in Acts chapter 2, and on and on. But it just wasn't revealed. Well, I know this is not the church which is the body of Christ, because the things said about the body of Christ is totally different than the things said in this passage about this church. Now, notice some things about this church here. Number one, it is strictly Jewish in nature. Strictly Jewish in nature. Now, contrast the body of Christ. Hold the passage and turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, on and on. Now go to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, notice in verse 26, For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now that's got to be a spiritual limb. That's got to be a spiritual body. People who are baptized in water go into water. They're put under the water or have it poured on their heads or sprinkled on them. And when they come out, they're still Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free. The baptism doesn't change one single thing. Look at it again. Verse 27, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, spiritual baptism, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, by one spirit we're baptized into one body. It's a spiritual body. How do I know? Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. How about you? Are you saved? If your answer is yes, then the next question, are you a male or are you a female? So you answer that. Well, in Christ, there is neither male nor female. So being in Christ is a spiritual realm. Is neither Jew nor Greek. Is neither male nor female, bond nor free. I know that this church back here in Matthew chapter 16 is Jewish. Notice, in Matthew chapter 10, people really figure. Now, I read a book one time several years ago written by a so-called famous pastor from out in Texas. And he more or less calls Peter, James, and John and the 12 idiots. He puts them down real bad. Well, you know what? If what people say is true, they must have been. People take it for granted that Jesus Christ told Peter here, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and on and on and on. And that Peter knew all the things from that point that are written in Paul's epistles. But he didn't know any of those things. This church here in Matthew 16, the Jewish. Notice in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Matthew 10, verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Strictly Jewish, they're forbidden to go to a Gentile. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, write it down. In Matthew chapter 15, and notice in verse 22, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. That's a legitimate prayer. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She crieth after us. These disciples who have been sent forth to preach the gospel of the kingdom are not the least bit concerned about this Gentile's problem. You talk about love now. I hear all this business about God loves you and we love you. The Apostle John being the apostle of love. Well, they didn't love that woman. They were not willing for her to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ about her child. Notice in verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, he said to the apostles, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and preachers insist on trying to prove that he didn't know what he was talking about, for they argue that he was sent to the Gentiles. Well, the doctrine to the church, which is the body of Christ, which is predominantly Gentile, is not in the book of Matthew. Matthew begins with, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" It's predominantly Jewish. And when Gentiles get the blessings that are involved, it's only as a result of them blessing a Jew. Turn, please, and compare. Now, I don't ask you to go off on a tangent. I want you to compare Peter, who heard all this. I want you to compare this man and what his attitude about it all was. Now, Jesus Christ dies, his bed and rises, and after his resurrection, notice in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. In Mark 16, verse 14. "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved, but he that believeth not should be damned." Now, Peter, a man that heard Jesus Christ say, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He heard Jesus Christ say, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." All right, he's later on crucified, buried, he rises from the dead, and after his resurrection, he said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature." Now notice in Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 10, he's sent to the house of Cornelius. He's sent to a Gentile to preach unto him. And when he gets there, notice what he does. He goes in under the house, verse 28, and he said unto them, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation." Now wait a minute. Matthew 10, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew 15, Jesus said, "I am not sent but of the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Paul in Romans chapter 15 verse 8 said Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. So here's Jesus, here's Peter going into the home of Cornelius, and what does he say? He said, "You know that it's an unlawful thing for a man that says you to keep coming to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." And then look what he said in verse 29. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for." In other words, Cornelius sent for him, and he came to Cornelius' house. "I ask therefore for what intent you've sent for me." Now, do you find in there where he said, "The Lord Jesus Christ sent me to you"? Do you find in there where he said, "The Holy Spirit led me to come to you"? What do you find in that? You find that some people came to the place where Peter was staying and said, "An angel of the Lord appeared unto Cornelius and said, send for you, and you'd come and tell him certain things," and whatever. And so when Peter gets there, what does Peter say? "It's an unlawful thing for a man that says you to keep company, or coming to one of another nation. Now, I came as soon as, I'm here, you sent for me, now I'm here. What do you want with me?" You know, this world's crazy, isn't it? People can't read sixth grade English, can they? Peter didn't the Lord say, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Well, yes, he said that. Didn't the Lord say, go and preach the gospel to every creature? And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, yes, he said that too. Well, what in the world is wrong with you? How is it that you say it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company coming to one of another nation? Well, he said, God has shown me, though, that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, where did God show him that? Well, he didn't show him that in Matthew 28 or Mark 16 or Luke 24. He showed it to him at the time of Acts 10 when a great sheet was let down in front of him, and three times the Lord told him, eat. And Peter said, nothing common or unclean ever passed through my lips. He saw all those unclean animals in there, and he said, no way. I'm a keeper of the law, the Mosaic law, and I've never eaten anything common or unclean, and no, I can't do that. But these men insisted that he go with them to the home of Cornelius, and so he goes. But when he gets there, he said, it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. Now think about it. Matthew 10, the Lord tells Peter, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 15, Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Romans chapter 15, verse 8, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, said, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. We're to accept truth based upon the witness of two or three witnesses. I've got three witnesses that says that Jesus was not sent in his ministry back then, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that he was not sent to the Gentiles. Matthew 10, Matthew 15, Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Why will you not believe it? Now, in Luke chapter 24, turn to Luke 24. Notice in Luke 24, and notice in Luke 24, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But he tells them later on that it's to be first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, when Peter went to Cornelius' house, he said, it's unlawful for me to come here, and on and on and on. Why? Because Israel had not had the message preached to them. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to show you that that church of Matthew chapter 16 is a Jewish assembly, and it is not a joint body of Jew and Gentile. It is strictly Jewish. In fact, notice Peter's message in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Look what he says. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Say, aha, all you that dwell at Jerusalem. Well, if I compare Acts 10, verse 28, he said it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. And I compare it with this. I know that Peter didn't have in mind Gentiles hearing the message. He said, "Of you men of Judea." Notice in verse 22, Acts 2, verse 22, "You men of Israel hear these words." Notice in verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus," and on. It is unmistakable. In that passage there were 3,000 people added to the church. The church was Jewish. And these 3,000 people have to be Jewish. Verse 14, "You men of Judea." Verse 22, "You men of Israel." Verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly." It is unmistakable. That church of Matthew 16 is a Jewish assembly made up of Jewish believers who had repented, turned around from the idea that Jesus was not the Christ, the Son of the living God. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." But after the crucifixion, then in Acts chapter 2, they said, "What must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins," and on. So they changed their minds. But who were they? They were Jews, Jews, Jews. And Peter later on said, it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come on another nation. So what I learned about that church, it's a Jewish church. How about this out here? It's Gentile. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was given the gospel of the Gentiles. What is it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And God will save anybody, anywhere, today, that will trust Him as their Lord and Savior. Will you trust Him right now? God will receive you if you will. Thank you for watching. Until next time, good day.